So a year ago, I invited Raila Odinga to our third national convention, or third national congress, in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe. I am sure that he found that congress quite inspiring, just like I find this congress inspiring. Some of you may be asking, why particularly I invited Prime Minister, your leader, to Zimbabwe? We share 4 to 5 common traits as Kenyans and as Zimbabweans. Firstly, we share a common history of racist colonialism. Secondly, we share that in order to get our independence, we had to fight to get our independence, sometimes in a violent way. Thirdly, we share that even when we obtained our independence, the first generation of leaders failed us in a number of ways. They failed us, but we respect the role that they played to liberate us. But one of the common traits post-liberation was that instead of expanding rights and freedoms to people, some of them had tendencies of oppressing their own people. We share with Raila Odinga that independence by itself is not sufficient. That independence without economic freedom, without basic freedoms, without economic development, it's hollow. That freedom is meaningless unless you are able to translate the newfound freedom to economic prosperity and freedom of the people. We share, therefore, a post-liberation formation, which is ODM, and MDC in Zimbabwe, based on the fact that we need to take our countries forward, that politics by its very nature does not define the destiny of the country alone, that we need to move away from emphasizing political power instead of economic power. And hence, after so many years of independence, it was natural to form an alternative formation of the people. Here in Kenya, you have ODM. You have others. In Zimbabwe, we have Movement for Democratic Change. These formations are not a betrayal of our struggle for independence against the racist oppression. They are an advancement of the ideals of the very same things that motivated us to fight against oppression, against racist oppression. ODM. So therefore, in coming to participate in this forum, I see similarities, I see congruence and solidarity for people who have the same strategic objective and goal, which is how can we struggle to make sure that we have good governance, we have democracy, and that we advance the interests of our people in a strong way. So I come here to reinforce the fact that if there were cynics and skeptics about what you are doing, I want to assure you that you are on the right path. Because you refuse to accept that anyone in your country is second-class citizen, that we share the same economic, political, and social responsibility to the people. And I'm very grateful that what I see as emerging, the coalitions of like-minded people who have the same objective, national interest, I think is something that should be congratulated. But what is the challenge that we face as the new generation of African leaders? Because we cannot be the old generation of African leaders. First and foremost, we have to distinguish between individual political power and the collective political power. We have to learn that power is institutional. It is not personal. When you reside power into yourself, you are a dictator. You are a dictator. That is the reason why dictators are promoted and are advanced. It is institutional through political formations like the ODM, like the MDC in my own country. So, whilst we congratulate your presidential candidate, Raila Odinga, we are not bestowing in him individual and personal power. We are bestowing in him collective power of UDM and the whole nation of Kenya. Have you ever asked yourself, what is the difference between Kenya independence, I don't know how many years ago, and the Asian independence as represented by Malaysia and Singapore? They had the same GDP at independence, the same level of education, but today Singapore and Malaysia are in the newly industrialized countries category. The reason is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. It is leadership. Those leaders who just want to assume power without a vision are dangerous. My brother Raila, I am sure you have a defined vision for Kenya. I am sure you have a program for Kenya. But remember this. When that time comes, the morning after, remember that you are likely to sow seeds of another revolution if you don't deliver. So your responsibility is to have a plan now, a vision now that defines where Kenya is going. The political and the economic plan that is going to take this country forward. I am sure that you have thought through. I am sure that you have got a manifesto. But a manifesto, unless it is implemented, is as good as having none. This is the challenge of new African leadership Democrats. Those who are advancing the fact that at the center of our development are the people. At the center of our development are the very various forces, including the opposition, that will contribute to the overall development of the country. My brother, you have a heavy responsibility in managing the gap between expectation and delivery. But I know you have already got the experience and the plan. And I'm sure that as these delegates leave this hall, they will have the full confidence that they have bestowed on you the national responsibility to take us forward. I want to say, some of us, with a personal calling like God's blessing, find it the limitation and the obstacles to our advancement that we have been told for a very long time that it is impossible. I want to assure you that it is not impossible. It is possible. It is possible for Kenya, it is possible for Zimbabwe, for Africa, to enter into a new phase of Afro-optimism. Away from the Afro-pessimism that characterized African politics for a very long time. Let's ride on that Afro-optimism. Because the only opportunity continent that is left is Africa. It is Africa's turn. And I'm very certain that with the leadership of Kenya, the leadership of Zimbabwe and other advancing countries, Africa will exploit its natural resources, its human resources for the advancement of Africa. I want to say that I find this Congress a replica of our own experience. As we go to the elections next year, let's avoid three things. The first thing is that let's avoid the violence that characterized the elections in Kenya and Zimbabwe. Black on black violence must be a thing of the past. State-sponsored violence and undermining of political actors does not create the legitimacy of an election which is free and fair. So please, let's avoid violence. The second thing is that as we move towards that election, let's all be certain that we don't repeat again a coalition which you started here in Kenya. Because a coalition builds discord and dysfunctional arrangement in a government. We want one government that defines its plan and should be measured on its own programs. No more forced marriages. No more coming by the losers through the back door to assume power which they have lost. No more again this African experiment which is not democratic. Those who win must accept, must be magnanimous to those who lose. Those who lose must also accept that they now follow the leader that has been elected by the full mandate of the people. Anything else to undermine that leadership will be sowing seeds of disaster. Lastly, when you are the government, remember that in Africa, one of the biggest problems we face is that when the winner wins, he takes all. You have to accept that during the period of oppression which you and me have gone through, to be arrested, to be beaten, to be done that, we must have that there is a loud cry for justice. But at the same time, we must also accept that there is real fear for those that have been perpetrating the violence. And therefore, you need to find a dividing line between these two extremes if we are going to have stability and progress. That, my brother, is the challenge we both face. And I'm sure you and your leadership are ready for it.